Hello, is that better? That's a bit better, it's less echoey. Merry Christmas, good morning. It's Christmas Eve, what a great day to tie up our series on the gifts of God at Christmas as we come into a time to share with each other and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Earlier on, we watched a fantastic video, I thought that was really good. That sees that journey of love from the angels speaking to Mary, Jesus being born, right the way to his crucifixion. And that is what we're looking at today. But let's recap. Over the past few weeks, we've explored hope with Kingsley. Where's Kingsley? There he is. We've explored hope with Kingsley, where we were looking at the Word becoming flesh, that baby in a manger and dwelling among us. The God of all things who was existent before time and creation chose to dwell with you and with me. And Kingsley shared with us that when God created us, he didn't create human number 65,493,256. When he created us, he made us unique, one of a kind, handcrafted by him. You are not a production line jobby. Have you ever bought something or looked at buying something that's handmade? You look at the individuality of it, the craftsmanship, the design, the care, the love, and the cost. There's always a cost. We are handcrafted by God and uniquely and wonderfully made as individuals, as you and as I. You are one of his very own creations. And he chose to come into the world we inhabit as a baby. God chose to do that for me, and he chose to do it for you. That is our hope. Look at the picture here. Up on the wall, we can have that. There is an empty manger and an empty cross. And as Kingsley said, off to the side of the edge of the picture, there would be a picture of an empty tomb. So often we live our lives empty and our lives feel empty because our hopes are not realized. But the greatest and the most wonderful and out of this world hope that we can have is not because of what's, is because of what is not, sorry, in this picture. There is no baby in the manger. There is no body on the cross, and there is no corpse in the tomb. That's is where your hope can be found. Our greatest hope comes from the fact that Jesus Christ, who was born and was placed in the tomb, is alive. Hallelujah. That God-given hope is something that can fuel us. That hope that he gives us is a hope that will last for eternity. This hope gives us peace from God. Peace in knowing that as we deal with these difficulties that life throws at us, as we look in the back of our minds, that understanding that God is existent, Jesus is alive, and he is living within us, and that is why we can have that peace. Knowing and having that sense of God's presence is more than you need, because God is greater than you or I. His presence is all you need to give you that hope. That hope of eternity, one day, that has been assured, that hope that we know what is coming because he has promised it to us. And that hope that brings peace and that takes away fear. God's peace is able to quell the fear and anxiety and tension in your life. It comes when your hope is founded in the Lord Jesus, that baby in a manger, Christ on the cross, the risen King. And that rolls us quite nicely into Pete's sermon on peace. And if you remember, we looked at Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. Pete told us 2 points within this. Glory to God and peace to man. Not worldly peace, not because you got a Christmas holiday. Not contentment and rest, but reconciliation. Jesus, the baby in a manger. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope who fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. fill. May the God of hope fill you with trust, fill you with joy and peace. But check this out, the next part, as you trust in him. Pete talked about his garden last week and things growing around his hose. How's your veg patch going, Pete? He referred to the watering can of hope. See, only obedience to God sees all these things grow, sees these gifts grow. It's not a one-time type of gift. It is continually growing as our relationship grows with God. It is the gift that keeps on giving. And in all of this, there is love, perfect love, that casts out all fear. You could say that the next gift ties all these little gifts in a nice, pretty bow. Because without this gift, the others just aren't possible. God's gift of love. See, Christmas provides many of us with the memorable experiences of giving and receiving love between family, friends, and the less fortunate. Even for those who dread this time of year, due to all sorts of different circumstances in life that leave them hurting, that they too agree that Christmas is all about love. If they didn't, why would they feel so broken and alone? So whether a Christian or a non-Christian or a lover or a hater of Christmas, the reality we can all come to is that love takes center stage this time of year. With all of that love that we feel, see, give, and receive during Christmas, or negatively, that we don't experience at all, I wonder if we miss the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the greatest love of all. What if filling our hearts and minds to the brim and with the outflow of love and festivities that we miss seeing God's gift of love? So that's a recap. That's what we've been looking at. That's our series on God's gifts at Christmas. And like I say, we're going to be looking at God's gift of love. But before we carry on, let's pray before we turn to God's word. Father, we thank you for these gifts. We thank you for the blessing that they are to us. We thank you that you are who you say you are, and these names that we see on the wall are everything that you are to us. They are your identity, Lord. You are our Savior, our Redeemer, our love, our hope, and our peace. And as we explore your word and we explore your gift of love this morning, Father, we pray that you speak to us this morning. You help us to understand who you are for us and who we should be for you. Amen. Let's look at John 3:16. I've got a clicker somewhere. Is it going to work? John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When we look at the message adaption of this, it says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. 1 John 4:9-10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So, like we've said, we are looking today at God's gift of love. We've heard about the gift of hope, of fearlessness, and about his presence. We have heard about the gift of peace and reconciliation, and now we see all of these things tied together with one act of love that changes everything, as God sends us the gift of his Son, the gift of love. Let's look at our passage we just read. We can see in 1 John, he clearly states God is the subject. God is who it's about. He writes the love of God and that he, God, loved us. And John 3, God so loved the world. We can get carried away sometimes by engaging in all sorts of actions of love during Christmas, but the main love of Christmas belongs to God and God alone. He is the great initiator of love. The Bible says in 1 John 4, he first loved us. Now, if God is the subject of the love, who or what is the object of the love? It's true, God so loved the world, and generally speaking, that is true. But in our passage in 1 John, it's more specifically looking to the church as the object of God's love. He writes that God's love was revealed among us, and again, that he loved us. Now, Kingsley asked us a question a few weeks ago. Do you get more excitement from wrapping presents or unwrapping them? For a lot of us, to be on the receiving end of love is much harder than giving love. Why is that? Because receiving love takes a degree of humility. And we, as humans, let's be honest, find humility difficult. We're proud. We would rather get the glory from giving love rather than allowing someone else to get the glory from by receiving their love. Understanding this, it's essential that we know the love of Christmas is given to us by God. We are but the humble recipients of this gift. So we've established that the subject of love is God and the object of love is us, but what exactly is the love? What is the manifestation or the revelation of this love? Simply put, what did this love and what does this love look like? Let's go back to our passage, 1 John 4, 9 to 10, and let's read it. But let's just read it out loud. This is how God showed his love among us. This is love. The Apostle John gives us a full picture of the manifestation and purpose of God's love towards us. The love of God towards his people is that he sent his son Jesus Christ into the world to be the wrath-bearing sacrifice for his people's sin, so that they might not die but live through him. We've jumped from over here at the manger all the way to the other side of our picture, to the cross. God's gift of love for us is not warm, fuzzy feelings, but a gritty, painful act of sacrifice, costing the death of Jesus for the payment of our salvation. It almost sounds wrong to say it, but the love of Christmas is ultimately revealed in a bloody sacrifice. It's true that at Christmas we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the sending of Jesus into the world, but that in itself is not God's gift of love. The act of God sending his son into the world was a means to an end. Therefore, Christmas is a means to an end. So what exactly is God's gift of love? In short, it is the self-sacrifice of God in Jesus for the salvation of his people. So what does that mean for us? What does it mean now? You know when someone gives you a gift and you don't have anything to give back to them and you start to panic? What do I get them? I don't even know what they like. Well, God has a wish list, and there's a few things in his basket. One of them is obedience, and the other one, another one, is love. Love him with all of our heart, body, soul, and mind, and love others. 1 John 3:23 says, "And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another." So, we copy the gift giver, and we share the gift of love. How do we do that? Well, we're given instructions. Isn't the Bible good? Remember, we aren't talking about that warm, fuzzy feeling. We're talking about agape love, the love of God. Love may contain feelings, but God's love isn't emotion, because the Bible commands us to love, and you cannot command an emotion. It is something that we do, something that we are commanded to do. That being said, to do that, you must first have a healthy love relationship with God before you can effectively love others. The Bible clearly says that we can know that we love others when we love God and keep his commandments. This implies that loving God and keeping his commandments is automatically loving others. Let me say that again. This implies that loving God and keeping his commandment is automatically loving others. If you really desire to love those around you and make your relationship with them better, then it is time to focus on your love response to the Father. So, with our relationship in check, here's our instructions, and we've heard them before, but let's look at them again. 1 Corinthians, verse 4. Love is patient. You're impatient, easily irritated. Other translations use the term long-suffering. If this is a problem, we need to check our relationship with God. Love is kind. God's love, agape, doesn't give what others deserves. It gives what they need. Someone's wronged you, upset you, hurt you. We're safe. Find a way to be kind. It does not envy. God's love is celebrating with those who receive blessings. Healing. Answer to prayer, regardless of whether your own needs or desires have been met. Yet, are we loving sincerely? It does not boast, and it's not proud. God's love is humble. If you are filled with egotism and pride, you'll be hard to be around and argumentative. Proverbs 13:10 says, "By pride comes conflict." Verse 5, it does not dishonor others. We so often use the term meek and mild at Christmas, yet he is the Almighty God as a man. Meek and mild. Yeah, God's love is courteous. It's never rude or dismissive. It's never aggressively confrontational. Love the little things and the big things will follow. It's not self-seeking. Agape love, God's love, doesn't say, me first. Doesn't see worldly hierarchy. It's service. When you were saved, you were crucified with Christ. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Remember that price we talked about earlier? You are bought with a price, and he has commanded you to love. When we stop thinking about our rights and seek to bless others, our world completely changes. It is not easily angered. God's love is not easily antagonized. If you want to know what is in your heart, see what comes out when you're annoyed or angry. If you're quick to explode, quick to react negatively, it could be that your love with God and your relationship with God is lacking. It keeps no record of wrongs. Forgive. It's the ultimate act of love and the sacrifice of Christ made for us. Does it cost? Yes. Does Jesus still have marks on his hands and feet? Yes. But that is the love of God. Verse 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Be sympathetic. God's love is heartbroken over sin. It prays for the renewal and rejoices when someone finds their way back into a restored relationship with God. Verse 7, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Agape, it's sacrificial. God's love is sacrificial. It's the love that choosing to love also chooses to suffer. When you love someone, you risk that they may hurt you. They may disappoint you. You cannot love without suffering. Scripture says it beareth all things. Ultimately, verse 8, love never fails. I was once taught Kylo. Kylo stands for keep your love on. God sent his son, a gift of love as a living sacrifice, even though we did not deserve it. And in return, we have been commanded to love one another. As the song goes, why should I gain from his rewards? His wounds have paid my ransom. If we are prepared to receive this gift of love, to exist in his love, then we have no right ever to turn our love off. Kylo, keep your love on. Ultimately, when we really love God, we are empowered to obey him and live out his word. Obedience to God is a proof that we love him. The power to obey comes from our love for him. When you find it difficult to obey God, your love for him shaky. It's then that it's time to refocus on him, refocus on that baby in the manger and the cross. And ask him to help you to revive your love life with the Father. Obedience is a proof of love. Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Love of God holds the power to make us obey. We simply are just not reciprocating the love that he has for us when we don't obey him. So let's come into a landing. It's Christmas time. And these are your gifts. Hope, peace, and love. What are you going to do with them? Are you going to put them in the cupboard until next year? Later on in the year? Maybe get them out next Christmas, dust them off, put them back in again after? Are they going to be something that you cherish, that you hold close to you? How are you? How am I going to love as Christ loves us? Is this a new thing that is going to grow using the watering can of hope? That relationship with God, drawing close to him? Is your loving perhaps a form of self-gratification, self-glory, and not for the honor of our God? Remember the angels, glory to God in the highest. Is it glory God? Christmas. Love. It's so much more than just giving stuff. It's something that we're commanded to do. Over the course of this Christmas season, I want to challenge you to set aside some time to reflect specifically on God's love and to thank him in praise and prayer. And it doesn't need to be too long. It could be done on today, Christmas morning, whenever. Just spend that time. Reflect on the self-sacrifice of God in Jesus for the salvation of his people, for your salvation, and then thank him for that love in prayer. And if you can, sing it. Praise. With this in mind, let's not allow the many experiences of Christmas and love of gifts and tradition to distract us from the primary love itself, which is the fact that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to be the wrath-bearing sacrifice for his people's sin, so that they may not die, but live through him. Christmas is about love. It's about God's love. That God so loved the world that he gave at Christmas his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave us his Son to save us and free us from all of our sins. And if we're willing to put our faith and trust in him, God will forgive our sins and heal our hearts. Christ is God's Son, and he took all of our sins to the cross. Bible says it separates it from the far as the east is from the west. It completely removes it. He was buried, and on the third day, God raised him to life. Now I want to do something that we don't always do. I'm going to offer this out now. You've heard about those gifts. Hope, peace, love. They are God's gifts to you. You've heard about how that comes about. But do you have a relationship with him? That could be yours. Someone used to say something all the time. They said, if you're in prison, can you get given a birthday present? You have to be with someone. You have to be face to face with someone to receive a gift. And if you're distant from them, if you're removed from them, they can't give you that gift. So I want to say this to you. If you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart, you've never received God's gift of love, and I want you, just quietly, just wherever you are, to pray this prayer with me. Just in your own head. Lord, I'm sorry. I believe that Jesus is your Son. I want to trust him as my Savior, and I want to follow him as my Lord from this day forward. If you prayed that prayer, come and see Peter or I afterwards. So today we've seen that we don't have hope and we don't have peace without the sacrifice of Jesus, and that is God's gift of love. We're going to spend a bit of time here, a bit of time in quiet reflection. I'm going to play a song in a minute. I want you to listen to the words. Remember what Christmas is about and what that means for you as an individual. Not anyone else sitting around you, but for you as an individual. What does God's gift this Christmas mean to you? What does hope, peace, and love mean for you as God's gift, God's gifts this Christmas? What does God's love mean for you right now? Is it new? Is it something that you want to understand more? Is it a reminder? Is today about stepping into God's command to love one another? Have you been doing it properly? I mean, I know I can fall short. Listen to this song. Then afterwards, we're going to spend a little bit of time just in quiet prayer in your own, with yourself, quietly. If you want someone to come and pray with you, put your hand up, someone will come over. But just for the main, just spend this time in prayer. Welcome.
For God so loved the world,
come on,
that he gave his only Son, and whosoever believes not perish, they shall have eternal life.
We believe in God.
I shall hold to the cross. I shall hold to God alone. For salvaged me, for his love has set me free.
For
God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and whosoever believes will not perish, they shall have eternal life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I shall wait upon the Lord. I shall wait upon his word, and by his grace I am released, and by his grace I am redeemed. Oh, for God so eternal.